In Iraq, negotiations continue today in an effort to put an end to fighting in Fallujah. Combat between U.S. Marines and Iraqi opposition forces has subsided during an uneasy truce, but sporadic shooting incidents are still being reported. The Arab television network Al Jazeera broadcast footage that it said showed two Americans who had been killed in Fallujah. Insurgents today also threatened to kill a kidnapped American contractor unless U.S. forces leave Fallujah. And three kidnapped Japanese civilians are still being held hostage. NPR's Anne Garrels is in Baghdad. Anne, despite the increased violence of the past week or more and the widespread nature of the opposition, American officials are still saying that the opposition consists of relatively few people. Do you find those claims credible?
More or less. In terms of raw numbers, those taking up arms at this point probably aren't that great. But the impact of their attacks has been considerable, and it's now coming on two fronts, Shia and Sunni. And these attacks have shown that U.S.-trained Iraqi police have neither the means nor the will to oppose them. And we've seen for the first time a battalion of the new Iraqi army refusing to go to Fallujah to support U.S. Marines. In many Shiite towns, I was just down in Kerbala, the police have just disappeared, and the U.S.-led forces have consequently lost control of the centers of several towns. And this has a serious psychological impact on Iraqis, who were already critical of the U.S.-led occupation for not being able to provide security. And this other issue, the Shiite cleric Muqtada Sadr, the U.S. handling of that has come in for blistering criticism here. Iraqis can't understand why the U.S. decided to take him on by closing his newspaper and arresting one of his clerical supporters just when they were facing serious problems with the Sunni resistance. Sadr's been able to persuade some who don't usually support him that U.S. actions are in fact an attack on Islam. And even U.S. officials concede it was a mistake to go after Sadr without a real strategy to respond if he decided to attack in response, which he did.
Strains are clearly developing in the relationship between the American-dominated Provisional Authority and the Iraqi Governing Council. Are there serious problems with that relationship?
It's hard to know, but there are problems. There have been a couple of reported resignations and threats of resignations, largely from more radical members. But the most serious blow came when Adnan Pachichi, an elder statesman who'd been working closely with the U.S., condemned the U.S. handling of the situation in Fallujah. Now, it's got to be said, the U.S. handpicked Governing Council has been a disappointment to both the Americans and the Iraqis. It's demanded more power, but it's failed to use what power it has in any real constructive way. And the U.S. now faces a serious problem, if not immediately with the council, but for the future, with the transition to sovereignty still slated for the end of June. Many Shiites are following the lead of revered Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, saying elections are the only way to create a legitimate government. Well, elections aren't going to happen by the end of June.
Anne, you returned to Iraq about a week ago after a break. You know, from a distance, it seems that the mood of the Iraqi people has shifted dramatically in recent weeks. Do you get that impression?
Things are certainly a lot tenser. It was inevitable that the situation was going to get more difficult before the transition, with extremist Shiites and Sunnis trying to sidetrack a process that's intended to put power into the hands of more moderate Shiites. At the heart, after a year, there's a deep feeling here that the U.S. doesn't care about Iraqi casualties. And bluntly, many told me that Bremer and U.S. officials working with him have done a terrible public relations job in trying to get the Iraqis behind them.
NPR's Anne Garrels in Baghdad. Anne, thank you very much.
Thank you, Leanne.